It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be with God's people. Just the worship this morning all spoke to God's love for us and our love for God. And today we're going to talk about idols and we'll break it down. But just as we were sitting there worshiping, I was just thinking about the fact that we're loved by God and how crazy that is. I am a thinker. If you know me, you know, like, I'm a nerd and I like to, like, think. I want to figure out how the world works and I ask a lot of questions and I just think about everything and I want to know how everything works. I want to break things down. And I don't know if it's a gene, but my kids are thinkers. My wife's a thinker too, so we have a great conversation, but my kids are thinkers too. And even with my kids, they ask good God questions like, where did God come from? And it's beaten to their heads, not with physical force, but just with conversation that that God is really, really big and we're really, really, really small. But when we think about, like, the massiveness of who God is and our, like, size and relativity, the fact that God, like, loves us is, like, mad. It's mad that God loves us, right? Not mad, like, angry, but it's, like, crazy. Like, it's really, like, fascinating, right? Like, if Bill Gates was your dad, you'd be like, oh, that's cool because he has a lot of money. The creator of the universe who spoke a universe into existence loves you. And that's super duper duper ultra meaningful. Exodus 32, 1 through 24. I'm not going to read the whole thing again because it's really long. And today we're going to talk about idols. So my first thought when I was preparing this message, I was like, let's see what an idol is. And I'll break it down a little bit later. But it was just fascinating going on YouTube and looking at different, like, videos of people breaking down idols. Hold on. I get really hype and I talk really fast. Let me try to slow down. I feel myself, like, revving up. On YouTube, there's lots of videos about idols. But when you type in, like, what is an idol, most of the videos you get are, like, kid videos. And I thought that was fascinating, like, kid cartoons about the golden calf. And I thought, that's a really, like, wild story to be, like, a kid story, you know? Like, so what is the meaning of this? So the question I even ask, the first question I ask is, what did the people do that caused God to be so furious? Because if you really think about it, right, like, in the context of the story, Moses is on the mountain, the people are there, God had just given them the Ten Commandments, and they're waiting for Moses to come back. God had wrote the commandments on tablets. Moses has it. And then God's like, these people are going crazy right now. Like, I'm going to smash them, right? So something is happening. What caused God to be, like, that furious? They made a gold cow, and, yeah, like, God was really, why is that a big deal? Part of it is what we spoke to already, is that God is really, really big, and he, like, loves us. And one of the songs even spoke to it about his jealous love for us. Why is it a big deal? It's because in Exodus 20, 1 through 6, God literally just gave them the Ten Commandments, and this is what it says. And I'm not going to read all of the whole Ten Commandments, but this one in particular. So get the scene. The people are heard from God. God said, these are my commandments. Don't make fake generic stuff. And Moses is on the mountain, so what do the people do? They're like, man, where's Moses at? We haven't seen him in a long time. Aaron, make us an idol. And he's like, give me your rings. And he threw it, and he's like, ta-da, golden calf, right? So this is what it said in Exodus about in particular. And then listen to what God said and listen to the people's response after the cow was made, the golden calf. He says, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. Not me, but like God. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other God. So let's look at a couple, like, points from what Ali just read. So they're waiting for Moses and they're like, Moses is taking a long time, make us a God. So then give me your gold. So get the picture. It's like, this is the kid story part, I guess. So Moses is like, or Aaron's like, hey, give me all your gold. So he takes all the people's gold. There's lots of people. It's not like 10 people, it's tons of people. So it's probably a big cow. Takes all their gold, throws it in the fire. It didn't just miraculously pop up and become a cow, right? It says, then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. When the people saw it, they exclaimed, oh, Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. So what is the problem there? It's a real question. Somebody can raise their hand and answer it, and I'll point to you. What is the issue with what just took place? Golden calf erects, and the people say, oh, Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Lady in the back, My wife. Yeah, so what they did, God did something crazy. He did something miraculous. He took them from slavery and bondage, freed them, rescued them, and said to them, with his, they were at the bottom of the mountain, heard booming voice of God, don't do what you just did. He says, you must not bow down to them. Or you'll read the exact part. He says, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind, an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am jealous and will not tolerate your affections of any other. And they said, here's our God, this golden cow. Yeah, they're tripping. So here's the question that I also ask. What is an idol? Like, I thought about it. Like, I think I have like a rough understanding of what an idol is. So what is an idol? Anybody want to like take a shot at it? I used to be a youth pastor back in the day. Like, I'm a barista now, but I used to be a youth pastor. And my mode of being a youth pastor, I used to like to ask questions because I'm a question asker. What? Somebody take a shot at it. What is an idol? Something that takes your eyes off of God. Absolutely. Something that takes your eyes off of God. The definition of an idol, I just put a lowercase g god, a deity, an object of worship and admiration. In the scriptures, idols are pretty much always statues. So when people made idols, they would take something and make a physical representation of God. And God's like, hey, you can't physically represent me. Don't even try. And just think about it like logically, right? Like if I was gonna build, I just said God is big, massive, biggest being in the universe, most important, powerful being in the universe, loves us infinitely. What image could I draw up that would accurately picture him? Like let's say if I want to like make an idol, like a physical statue idol, and I say, guys, give me all your gold. Give me all your money too. Put that in my bank account because I'm broke. But give me all your gold, all your money. I'm going to make a statue for our God. And I make a statue that's this big. Is that like big enough? Like, do you think that 3-foot statue accurately depicts the Lord? What if it's 100-foot made of platinum, not even gold? Like, God is infinitely more valuable than anything our little silly hands can like muster. So God's like, hey, I have an idea. Don't even try. Don't try to make me into an image that won't do me justice. And what's crazy is God's image is on us, but also God came to earth and gave us himself. So he said, I'll do you one better. Don't make a stupid statue. I'll come to earth and be here for reals. That's mad. Yeah, so before I was a Christian, I remember I used to go to like the Panda Express and different, and I'm not like roasting other people's like culture and religion, but I'm just, pre-Christian Manny would go to Panda Express and other restaurants and see statues with like incense and cigarettes and cookies. And I always think like, that's super weird you give your God like cigarettes and cookies. Like he doesn't like eat them. But that's what it is, an idol. And that's their way of saying, look, we are showing reverence to our God by giving them some cookies and some cigarettes and the incense. And I would think like, man, if the cigarette would just like smoke down because God's like, oh, thank you, good looking out. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't take the cookies. He's like, oh, no milk. Like, how many cookies would it take to like be an adequate like sacrifice to your God if you're making, you know what I mean? Like you couldn't give God enough cookies. You couldn't give him enough smokes. You couldn't give him enough incense. You couldn't give him enough anything. You know what I'm saying? So God says, don't even try. So pre-Christian Manny would like wonder like, why do we do that? Why do we make little statues and worship them? And I think it's like in us. We want to like be able to look at something and say, that is the thing that that gives me worth and value and makes me safe. Idols, especially in America, are not statues per se, but they serve the same purpose. So an idol back in the day, it was their gods, and they took it and they said, this is my rescuer, my redeemer of sorts. Today, we don't do that with statues so much, in America especially. Other countries, they still have like idols, like literal, like you can go to like Thailand and go inside of the Buddha, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's their God. And even still, like, it's still not like big enough if that's really God, but it's not, because it's lowercase g. But in America, our idols aren't statues per se. And I was thinking like how I would put words to like define what an idol is in like modern American times. And this is my like I'll say generic definition, but it's not generic because I took the time to write it. So yeah, they're highly value. Idols are the objects in your life that you hold onto tightly. They're highly valued and give you a sense of security, worth, and safety outside of the true and living God. So we don't necessarily have like golden Buddhas in our house or golden calves in our house, but we do have things that we point to and says, this is the thing that makes me safe. So I say, things are going on in my life and I look to my bank account or I look to my family or I look to other things and I say, you're the things that are, you're the idols in my life. And I was like thinking like, what about people? We say like, oh, American Idol. Well, what do people do with idols? They want to like be like them. Like if I say I idolize Michael Jackson, I don't, but let's say if I did, I would want to like kick like him and dance like him. You know what I'm saying? But because that's what you do. You look to the thing that you like idolize. So if your idol is a golden cow, what do you become? What do you want to be like? Actually nothing, because it's empty. You know what I'm saying? If our idol is our bank account, what happens when you die? Do you like take that with you? Do you like say, oh, let's load this money into my casket and it'll give me worth and value while I'm dead? No, somebody's gonna tomb rob it, like in Egypt. You know what I'm saying? Like there's literally like people who give their lives to jacking dead people for their resources. Jacking. There's literally people who like are tomb raiders and they take the possessions of people who have like passed because you can't do nothing with it. So if my stock is in my stock, then I've missed it. When there's an infinitely big God who like loves us, and not just that, he's like jealous for us, like the scripture says. And that's so weird too, even the fact that like God will call himself jealous, because in our culture, we typically look at jealousy with negativity. Like jealousy is a bad thing. But it's not if it's proper, and I'll speak more on that later. I'm jumping in. I guess I'm not. Yeah, God is jealous for his creation and will not give his credit to another. And rightly so. And I thought about some like examples of jealousy that's like proper, that's not weird. Like there's some jealousy, like if somebody rolled up right now in a Tesla that was like tricked out, maybe I would be like, oh man, that's super cool. But if I felt something inside of my heart like jealousy, that'd probably that's a problem, right? Because jealousy is bad. But let's say if I came home and my wife was like making out with some other dude. Would you guys look at me with like, oh, you're a Christian, you shouldn't be jealous if I like went and like punched the guy? No, like there's some jealousy that's like proper, right? Like I have kids, and let's say, like, I love my kids so much, you know what I'm saying? I love my kids, I love my family. And let's say if my kids ran up to some random dude and was like, daddy, bro, I would be crushed. I would be crushed because they don't care for them. They don't like love them, especially if it's like a rando. Like they walk outside and see some like homeless Joe walking down. They're like, this guy's better than my dad. And they hug him. And I'm like, no, you're my kid. And he's like, nah, this homeless Joe's my dad. When we have idols in our lives, whether it be a statue or a bank account or even our kids, that is saying to God, homeless Joe is better than you. Whatever you're pointing to other than God, you're saying you have more worth and value in my life than you do. And some of our idols, like when it's a statue, you might know it, right? When you're putting the cookies on the statue, you know what you're doing. You're like, oh, yes, thank you. Here's some cookies, you know what I'm saying? But when my family's my idol, I might not know that. So God's like, hey, trust me with your kids. And I'm like, no, God, I know better than you. I love them more than you do. No, I don't. I can't. I'm incapable of loving my family more than God loves them, right? So when we have secret idols. But God's love for us is a jealous love. It's not a flippant. God didn't flippantly just put us in the universe. He didn't just say, oh, let's just make earth. This is one of the things I was going to say earlier, thinking about my kids and talking about the bigness of God. They're saying, earth is so small. And if you think about like the context of the universe, like we are really, really like a dot. And we'll play nerd for a second. Like the big red dot on Jupiter, 3 Earths can fit into the big red dot on Jupiter. Interesting, right? 100 Earths could fit in, I'm gonna forget all the stats, but 3 red, but just in the context of small, but I do, we'll get down. Three Earths can fit in the red dot of Jupiter. Every planet can fit into Jupiter. 1,000,000 Earths can fit inside of the sun. And we're not like, that's not even the biggest sun. You know what I'm saying? Like, our sun is like small. There's a sun called Canis Majoris. Something that we were nerding for a second. Canis Majoris, if the Earth was the size of a BB, our sun would be the size of a basketball. Canis Majoris would be 1 mile in diameter. Like let that sink into your like brain. And God spoke and made Canis Majoris. And that same God put on flesh, walked amongst us, and loves us and redeems us. How dare me make a little mini statue or say, my wife is better than you, when God spoke us into existence, formed us from the dust of the ground, came to earth, and like redeemed us. We're super duper small. So his jealousy is like proper when we point to other things and say, we like you better. Yeah, Isaiah 44, 6 through 8. I actually typed it, so I don't have to go to my phone. Isaiah 44, 6 through 8. If you got a chance, you can, if you take notes, write this down. Read Isaiah 44, because the whole thing is in the context of idols. And if you look throughout scripture, all throughout, God roasts a slang. I guess you guys all know roast. He roasts idols. He makes fun of idols because they're absurd. They're goofy. If you really think about it, like if I create something with my hands and say, you made me and you love me and you saved me. No, it really didn't though. Even with my bank account, anything that like comes to nothing, if I'm putting that thing up and pulling it up, if it comes to nothing, it's absurd. God throughout scriptures like roasts idols and makes fun of them. He's like, this one part, he says, you cut one part in half and you warm your hands, and the other part you cook your food, and the other part you say, ah, that fire feels good. Like all throughout scripture, like God roasts idols. So Isaiah 44, 6 through 8 says this. This is what the Lord says. It says that actually. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of heaven armies, I am the first and the last. There is no other God. Who is like me? Let him step forward and prove to you his power. Let him do as I've done since the times when I established the people and explained its future. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Proclaim my purposes. Did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? You are my witnesses. There is no other God. No, there is no other rock. No, not one. So in this context of Isaiah 44, it's all about idols and God saying, look, you, I'm here. I'm on this, let's put me on the scale. Put something next to me on the scale and see what goes up. Like, there's nothing in the universe that you're gonna put next to God and say equal. Like, you could put the devil next to God. It's not equal. It's not yin-yang. It's not dualism. It's not, oh, God is the God of heaven and the devil is the God of hell. No, the devil is even subject to God. There's nothing in the universe that you could put next to God and say equal. That's the God that loves us. So when he says, do not tremble, do not be afraid, did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? Is there any other gods? No, there's not one rock. No, not one. And I'm not talking about the rock, WWE. There's no rock, like mountain that we can stand on. There's no other ground for humans to place their feet in reality outside of God himself. And he made that possible through his son. We have no solid ground to stand on outside of the gospel. Everything in this life we look to outside of God fades away and is ultimately empty. I heard somebody say one time, and it wrecked me. It said, it would be a tragedy, like the worst tragedy ever, to have a bank account full of cash but be bankrupt in your heart for eternity. And that's so many of us. Like, so many of us chase things that are small, and we think they're like meaningful, and God is one of the things, but not the thing. But God made us for himself to be the thing in our life, which gives everything else actual meaning and value and purpose. I love my family better because I love Jesus the most. That's how it should be. That's the proper order. God made us for himself. I said this already, but I'm going to say it again because I wrote it. God roasts idols all throughout scriptures because they are truly absurd. Yet, it is completely human to look to them. Rather it be a statue or a bank account, we look to things that we can behold with our eyeballs to feel some kind of way. You were made for God, by God, to have a relationship with him through Jesus, and that was plan A. That was always the plan from the beginning of time. When God created the world and Adam and Eve existed, his plan from the beginning was to make humans right with himself through his son. And that's the case. So I'm getting ready to close already. I know it's kind of short. I think I told Curtis 19 minutes and 51 seconds, and I think I'm like close to that right now. So, yeah. 1 John 5:21 was on the screen earlier. It said, dear children, keep away from anything that takes God's place in your heart. Keep away from anything that takes God's place in your heart. So we say statues, there's kind of a disconnect because that's not our culture, but anything resonates with everybody in here. If it's a thing that's not God, keep it far from your heart. It says, dear children, keep away anything that will take God's place in your hearts. Look at it like this. Like, if your heart has a throne on it, there's only one person that should sit on it. It's not you. It's God. It's not the stuff in your life. It's God. And the ESV translation says this to bring it back home. Little children, keep yourself from idols. So I didn't make it up. Curtis?